This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute. Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
All right, who knew we'd beat after Indiana beat Oregon 30-20 at Autzen?
I did.
Wait, you knew we'd be here?
Oh, yeah. For a doubt.
I don't know about that. But, hey, here we are. Good
are
call.
Are you going to seriously, if there's anybody who would have, it's Joey Blue Skies, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
That's true.
Well, I think most people believed that Texas Tech was not going to be the bump in the road. This is where the rubber meets the road, that Indiana's the favorite. Obviously, Oregon is making their case, but the majority of people think that this is Indiana's game to win or lose. And so I heard I don't remember where I heard it, but someone brought up the point that, you know, if they lose this game, no one will give Lanning credit for beating James Madison and Texas Tech. It was like James Franklin last year didn't get credit for winning the two games. You still got the blame for losing it. It was almost like you were expected to beat those two. Now go do something that we don't think you're going to go do. This is by far the biggest game in Lanning's career.
Okay, hold on. Explain that one again. I'm trying to follow here.
So, like, Oregon goes through the year, right? They don't win the Big Ten, and they weren't expected to, right? Ohio State was the favorite, and then here comes Indiana. You lose to Indiana in the regular season, you get to the playoff. James Madison and Texas Tech, I think everyone thought Oregon was supposed to beat those two teams.
Wasn't Texas Tech the favorite?
Was Texas Tech favorite in that?
No. Oregon's slight favorite.
I think Oregon was a slight favorite. Most people thought that Texas Tech was one-dimensional and Oregon should win that game. And so I don't remember who it was. I wish I could remember who it was. Someone brought up the point of Penn State last year, right? That Franklin wins the two playoff games and then gets to this point and they lost to Notre Dame. And no one gave James Franklin any credit for beating, was it Boise State and who else did they beat?
Was it SMU?
Might have been SMU. Yeah, I think it was. I think it was SMU and Boise or whatever.
And so
no one gave them any credit for it. It's like you only get the blame. And I kind of feel like that's where Oregon's at. If Oregon wins this game, everything's hunky-dory. Lanning gets over the hump. You got the doorstep of a national championship. But if you lose this game, I don't think anyone's going to be like, oh, yeah, Oregon beat James Madison and Texas Tech. It's going to be like, well, you couldn't beat Indiana. Last year, you couldn't beat Ohio State. The year before, you couldn't beat Washington. And whether it's fair or not, this is the game. This is the game that Dan Lanning will be judged on. It just will be. And I'm not saying it's fair, but James Franklin didn't get credit, and Lanning won't either for beating those two teams.
But you're basing this conversation off of the supposition, is that the right word, that Oregon and or Penn State was supposed to be in this place.
Yes.
I think people believe that about Penn State. I don't think there were many people. I thought people my recollection, right, I can barely remember yesterday, let alone 3 months ago, I think the majority of people thought Oregon was going to be a very good football team.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think, I mean, if you go back and look at the preseason rankings, predictions, I don't think anybody predicted that Oregon was going to be here. So I would push back in the sense that James Franklin was being judged on an expectation that he be in this place. Whereas I think Dan Lanning, and however you want to, you know, whoever you want to give credit to, getting to the semifinals in and of itself with the with the expectations is a win. Right?
Yeah.
Is that a fair?
Yeah, I see.
Counterpoint,
and I would agree at the beginning, but stuff changes. And I think as this season went on, I think expectations changed. And
But I'm going to push back again. Do you think after the Indiana game this year that people looked and said, you know what, this is a semifinal team? That was midway through the season.
You can operate in that rational world, and I totally get why. I think it's irrational that what happened to James Franklin. But just because something becomes irrational doesn't mean it's not true. And the truth of the matter is, if Oregon loses this game, and it's the second loss to Indiana, much like the Washington one, people are going to take a big giant steamer on this season, and they're just not going to give you credit for beating James Madison and beating Texas Tech. They're just not. Everything about this season will come down to this game, in my opinion.
I'm going to disagree and say that this is speaking something into existence that wouldn't necessarily, I mean, sure, there's always going to be people out there that, you know, have unrealistic expectations. I think this is speaking something into existence that wouldn't necessarily have been there. Sure, I think it's fair to be disappointed. You know, like I was thinking the other day, and I say disappointed, assuming that we're talking about the instance if they lost. Like I was thinking about like how many times, God, we've been so close. Like I remember being at the game against Auburn. I remember being at the game against Ohio State. Like thinking through these situations and how like, oh my gosh. So it would be fair to be disappointed, but I don't think it's a fair thing to hold this against Dan Lanning.
Didn't say it was fair. Just like I said, what happened to James Franklin wasn't fair, but it's the reality. So you're operating Joey Harrington world.
Fight, Rob, hop in here. Squash this nonsense.
Okay, here's what I think. I'll tell you what I think, and you see if you agree with me. A little different, okay, but along the same lines. Oregon's program is at the level where it is about these games.
Yes.
And Texas, yep. I think what Suka's saying is Texas Tech wasn't one of those, whether that's fair or not. It's this game, and it was last year's Ohio State game, and they're good enough now, mm-hmm, and sustainable enough at that level, mm-hmm, that this is it. It's time to win these, and if this one, again, they're underdogs. Indiana's,
yep,
but Oregon has more talent than Indiana.
Okay, fair. What conference
they have to win?
What conference is SMU in? Are they in the Big 12 or are they in the
ACC?
Yeah, ACC.
They're in the ACC.
ACC, Power Conference. Yeah.
With Cal and Stanford, okay, if that makes any sense.
Yes.
Well, I was like, isn't SMU in the AAC? So
no.
I was like, okay, the argument they used to be, I can't even keep it straight anymore. I was like, for some reason, Texas Tech seems like you referenced last year's Ohio State game. Well, last year's Ohio State game was the quarterfinals, which is exactly where Oregon beat Texas Tech, mm-hmm, right?
Yeah.
So I would say it is fair for the expectations to win college football playoff games. They have done that, right? I also think that it's fair, you know, like you said, it's the way it's set up for them now to be in a national championship conversation each year. That is a fair, realistic expectation. The reason I'm pushing back so hard on this right now is because James Franklin was fired.
Mm.
And like that is not,
no.
I'm sorry, but I will sit here and I will bet you, you know, I'll hand you the keys to my car, the deed to my, like what Dan Lanning is not going to be fired.
No.
If Indiana beats them tomorrow, like that is not that's apples and oranges for me.
Yeah.
But if they don't win this, And again, you know, the narrative isn't always right or fair.
It's just a narrative.
But if they don't win this, it's going to start to seep into the Dan Lanning chatter that, hey, you know, what more, like, you're teeing yourself up, but you're losing at the biggest moments. Mm-hmm.
And that's all I'm saying.
And that's where this moment is.
And I don't think it's fair, but I think that there will, that will be the overwhelming narrative and not, hey, that's a hell of a year for a year. I think next year, especially if Dante Moore comes back, the next 2 years, I think those are your big windows where this should line up to maybe do something special. And I just don't think anyone from, or with a loud voice, or the majority of people are going to think rationally and be like, hey, hell of a year. We didn't expect you to be here. You win two playoff games and you couldn't get over the hump against the best team in the country. And maybe they end up being the eventual national champions and tip of the cap. We'll see you next year. I think it's going to be more of what Rob said of you lost to a more talented, or you're more talented than Indiana. They don't have the star power and you lost to them twice in the same year. My God, why can't they win these big games? Not saying it's fair, but that will be the stupid narrative that floats around and people will scream about it.
So don't amplify stupid narratives.
No, that's what we do.
Stop the conversation here and don't, just because other people, it's like I tell my teenagers, just because other people say stupid things and make stupid decisions doesn't mean that you have to do that as well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if they've established anything, if you want to look at more glass half full, if they've established anything, it's that I think, like you were saying, you know, coming into the season, not a lot of, I think a lot of people thought Oregon was a year away.
Yes.
Well, I think if they've established anything this year, if you want to look at it positively, it's that they're never just a year away. They're so talented, and with the transfer portal, that they're in it whether it all lines up or not. I mean, that's how good they are.
Yeah.
They've established this year when nobody
remember, they were eighth or something like that in the preseason. I saw something the other day where none of the major, you know, AP writers picked any of the four semifinalists in their top five to start the season, right? So, you know, you assume if you're going to do your preseason rankings and say, here's my top four, top five, that those are the teams you're expecting to be in the semifinals. Nobody picked any of these four teams to be here. So change the subject. Go somewhere else. This is toxic. We're getting ready. We're on the precipice of a national college football semifinal game, and you're talking about comparing to James Franklin and Penn State?
Idiot. Sucanic. Freaking Sucanic. Unbelievable.
God.
My God.
All right, well, let's take a break. We are here with Joey Harrington. They call him J. Joseph for short. Harrington, former Duck quarterback. It is brought to you by Mods PDX. The future of building is here. We got to get the patented Joey Harrington worry meter in. People want to know. Ooh. You were worried the first game. I remember. I don't remember your exact level, but I think it was like 8.5. We'll see where it is for this game. Coming up next with Joey Harrington here on 105.1 The Fan. We're back with Joey Harrington, and it's time for the patented Joey Harrington worry meter. Do you remember what you spit out the first game? Because I know you were worried about it.
Before the break, you told me it was 8.5.
I think it was.
Yeah, it was pretty high.
It was either 7.5 or 8.5.
It was higher than my worry meter.
It was high. I know it was higher than Penn State.
Yeah.
Yeah, Penn State was previous, and I was like a 7.5 or an 8, and then I was super worried for the Indiana one.
How do we feel about a rematch?
7.5.
Okay, a little better.
Yeah, because what is it? Five of the last, or not years. There have been five. What's the rematches? That's where I was like, rematches of regular season meetings and then college football playoff meetings. And in four of the five, the team that lost during the regular season won the playoff meeting. And the only one that didn't happen is Ole Miss and Tulane. When Ole Miss beat Tulane, was that last year?
That
was this year.
Yeah. They beat him.
That was this year, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I'm getting older. That was the only one. So, it's tough to beat somebody twice. It's tough to line up against them and beat a great team for a second time. And I think there's going to be weight behind that. I think there's validity to that. Now, at the same time, I think that Indiana is the best team in the country right now. Like that, and anybody who thinks differently can go pound sand. Like this is a team that has been, you know, was overlooked at the start of the year, and week after week has shown people that they are the best team in the country right now. And so it's going to be tough. Like this is a solid, solid football team top to bottom. And they gave Oregon's offense fits in Eugene, you know, create a couple late interceptions, a fumble, a six sacks or something like that. This is a formidable team. And I think that it's tough to do it a second time. So it's not as high, the worry meter isn't as high for me this time.
Yeah, I think it helps Oregon that they've seen them. They've been on the field with them. They know the personnel. They know the matchups. They know how physical they are, how disciplined they are. That helps. What, from a quarterback perspective, what should we be watching for early with Dante Moore? Because it did seem like in that first game, Indiana really confused him. What do you hope to see early in the game to give us some, you know, to give us a feel for how he's handling Indiana's defense?
Boy, you know, I'm trying to think of the times when he has felt a bit out of rhythm, right? And like you said, the two games that pop into mind are the Indiana game at home, and the Texas Tech game. Right. I mean, God, I number 31 Texas Tech's defensive end. I mean, the guy was in his face just about, you know, in his lap every year. Oh, my God. And in those situations, what Dante has been really good at doing is, you know, he didn't throw the interceptions until late in the game. Right. One of them was a tip ball. The other one he tried, you know, had to try and make a play. But he's been really good about not forcing balls, right? Against Texas Tech, a lot of balls to running backs out of the backfield. A lot of, you know, he got pressure early, and then it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, wait, back out of the backfield. That's not going to work against Indiana. This isn't you can do that against Wisconsin when you're off rhythm. Hell, you can do that against Iowa when you're off rhythm, right? And then make a throw at the end of the game. This is going to be a game where he's going to have to step up into the pocket, right? We talked about it after the Texas Tech game. There were a couple times where he got pressure in his lap and he retreated and either got sacked or threw it away or dumped it off, right? Didn't make a big mistake. Didn't throw up an interception, didn't turn the ball over deep in his own territory, but had he stepped up into the pocket, it's a tough thing to teach a quarterback, right? You got pressure coming at you. A lot of times the best place to go is forward, to go by it, to allow that tackle to push the DN by. So if you see him step into pressure and deliver a strike across the middle of the field, like that's what I'm looking to see. He's going to have to make a couple plays. He's going to have to, I don't want to say put the team on his back because he doesn't. But remember, like this is a receiving core that is just getting back to full strength. Right? We haven't seen DeCorian Moore in the way that we saw him early in the season. This is a backfield that is down to two running backs, right? Yeah. From the six. Like this is a time where he is going to have to, you know, and not do it every play, but have a couple moments where he steps up into the pocket and makes a big throw down the field and create some offense, maybe at a time where, you know, he's been a bit more conservative in the past.
Yeah, when I look at that first game, so I went back and I watched it this week, and a couple things jumped out at me. One is Oregon actually ran the ball pretty well. The six sacks and the negative yardage is what killed them, but they ran pretty well inside the tackles, not so much outside. They had some success, and I don't really understand why they stopped running it. Like Indiana plays a nickel, and they don't, that's just their base defense, and you know, their whole thing is no explosive plays keeps everything in front of you. And Oregon, I thought, was doing a pretty good job of keeping the in front of the sticks, running the ball right. real well. And then I thought they got too cute, and they just kind of stopped running the ball. I don't think necessarily Indiana forced them to stop running the ball. I think they just kind of went away from it. And I think that's one, to me, where, yes, Dante Moore needs to play better, but also if Indiana wants to give you 5 yards a carry, take 5 yards a carry. And I think that's whole Indiana's thing is you're going to make a mistake along the way. And I thought Oregon got impatient and was like, God, I don't know if we can go 15 plays without making a mistake. And I think they have to do that. And then Moore has to be good in spots. Also in pass protection, a lot of those sacks, those were covered sacks or running back sacks. I don't necessarily think the first play, Harkey got beat real bad.
Typical O-lineman, not blaming the O-line.
Well, I mean, it just like some of that was confusion along the O-line. Right, I thought the backs were poor, and like you said, I think Dante needed to do a better job. So I guess
so here's the thing. So the question from Rop was what am I looking for from Dante early in the game in the first half, right? And he I hesitated to say it. I was like, he doesn't have to put the team on his shoulders.
Yeah.
But he has to step up and make two or three of those throws.
Yes.
Right? Where you look back and say, there it is, yeah. Right? Exactly. Run the football, 5 yards chunk, dump it in the flat, take four, take three, bam, step up. Wham! Yeah. And that's the play to keep the drive going, right?
Yes.
A big third and eight conversion,
yeah.
a shot down the field. It's not like he has to throw the ball 50 times a game. I agree. He does. Yeah. That's not what you want. You want this running game to be successful. You want to do exactly what you said, continue to run the ball out the field. And then there's going to be two or three chances where Dante has to step up in the pocket and deliver a strike into tight coverage to score, to move the chains, to switch the momentum. There's going to be a moment or two like that to where he is going to have to step in and be the guy.
Yeah, because I think in that first game, if I'm off the top of my head, they were like 3 of 15, 3 of 16, and third down. The average on that third down was like 3rd and 7, which is not the world you want to live in against this Indiana defense. And now with the emergence of Sadiq being healthy and now Johnson on the other side, I really think that Oregon's going to play a lot of 12 personnel, come out and be heavy and really give them a steady dose, even with the reduced depth in the backfield. I think they're going to pound it between the tackles and then try to take some shots downfield, like you said, in appropriate times. But they can't live in the 3rd and 7 world. It has to be on time and just take what the defense gives you. And I just think they got out of rhythm in that first one and got a little greedy with it and thought that there were big plays to be had. And there just isn't. Indiana just doesn't really give up a lot of big plays. So I just think
you use the phrase takes what the defense gives you. Well, I think taking what the defense gives you puts them in a position where it's a close game in the fourth quarter.
Yes. Yes,
but, for sure.
Yes.
But that's not like, I don't know. I think taking what the defense gives you, and yes, I'm 100%, 98% behind that strategy for the majority of the game. But I'm still coming back to a couple. There's going to have to be a couple moments where Dante is special.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the last, Trinidad Stambliss, he was absolutely special in that fourth quarter against Georgia.
Right.
Look at Mendoza against Alabama. He was absolutely special from start to finish. There are going to be a couple moments where you have to, like, where Dante is going to have to be the man. Because let's not forget, this is not Indiana from the last 80 years when they haven't won a Big Ten championship since 1945. This is the best team in college football right now.
Yeah.
And he is going to have a couple moments where he rises above and puts the team on his shoulders, not for the whole game, but says, this is where I'm going to take control. I'm going to hit you right where it counts. Now let's get back to our game plan.
You're right, because if you go back, the two throws in overtime against Penn State, the deep throw up the sideline against Iowa, Sadiq touchdown over the middle, the ripping the ball in between four defenders against Washington when that got into a field goal game, the one to Malik Benson. Right. There have been moments, you are right, where Dante Moore shows you glimpses and you're like, okay, that's why someone's going to take him number three overall. And you are 100%. If you're going to slay the beast, and at this point it's weird to say it, but Indiana is the beast.
Indiana's the beast.
They've beaten Oregon, they've beaten Penn State, and they've beaten Alabama. They've proved it.
And Ohio State.
And yeah. Like they are the beast right now. And you're right. And in order to do that, Dante Moore is going to have to show you a couple moments why he could be the number one overall pick. Because that's when we looked at Texas Tech and you said, what's the biggest difference? Hey, two really good teams. There's an NFL quarterback and there's a guy getting ready to play his last snap. And in this game, it's not. You probably have the number one and number two overall picks. And right. It may just be as simple as which one of those kids makes the mistake and which one of those kids makes the, this is why I'm the number one player in the country.
Might I add? I mean, as well, yeah, cool. It's not just Dante Moore. It's, you know, when I we talked about this yesterday, but worth repeating, Oregon has 58 four or five star players.
Yeah.
Indiana has seven. And to your point about Dante Moore needing to step up, I mean, this is where I play the odds. I think Oregon is going to win because I feel like it's going to be a really good close game, chess match type of game where you rely on somebody in that 58, yeah, some special player to make a special play. Miami has this with Bain and Messidor, yeah, and the guys that are stepping up for them. Oregon's got to have, it doesn't have to be, well, it's Dante Moore's the most important position, but I mean, somebody in there,
yeah.
Oregon has the odds, yeah, to have that guy step up, yeah, somewhere. Sadiq, who knows who it is? Maybe somebody on defense.
Yeah, Finney, who added, you know, the MVP of the Texas Tech.
But this is, like you mentioned, Chambliss, this is the level of the tournament where that happens.
Yeah.
Because everything else is pretty equal.
But here's the thing, though, Rob, is that five-star outside linebacker or that five-star or that five-star safety doesn't have the ball in his hands every single play.
No, that's right. Right? That's
so they have opportunities, maybe one or two, you know, where, hey, great, pick off two passes, make an incredible tackle off the edge, and recover a fumble. Man, there you go. There's a great example of a defensive player having a game-changing performance. But Dante will have the ball in his hands every single time, and it's why 9 times out of 10, you can have all the studs around you that you want, but it is the quarterback who gets the blame, and it's the quarterback who gets the credit because he's the one who pulls the trigger. And you know what? I don't care how many guys you have around you. If you have the ball in your hands and your job is to throw a skinny post into a 3-foot-wide space 27 yards down the field, by God, you better put it on shoulder.
That's right.
And that's your job.
I feel you, QB. Now, here's my last question. And Suk and I are on the same page here. I want to see what you think. Do you think Dan Lanning has it in him to be conservative in the game management department here? In other words, we were talking about, you know, the 4th and 1s, the 4th and 2s. If 3 points are there, this may be the type of game where you take the points. Do you think he can do that or will do that or should do that?
Had they not just played the game against Texas Tech last week? That was last week. It seems like longer than that. I would say not necessarily. There were moments, and maybe I'm confusing. Didn't he say that he should have taken, or that he would have, you know, looking back, he should have taken 3 in one of those situations?
Yeah, I think he said something like that. Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he knew how the defense was playing, obviously.
I think that having that experience against Texas Tech last week will, because they were all, I mean, God, they were going for it on 4th down. They were going for it. I mean, they weren't kicking anything.
Eight times they went for it.
I mean, I think that experience where he looks back and said, yeah, you know what? It probably would have helped us to take the 3. Having that as your last experience, I think may influence. It's not going to change him. You know, he's still going to be an aggressive coach, but I think it may influence him a little bit to kick it one out of those 8 times.
Well, I hope so, because I think the 3s, this is going to be a battle, and I think it's okay to punt at times, even though it's enticing, and I think it's okay to take 3 at times, even though it's enticing to go for it. I get his style, but maybe not this game.
Well, remember, Alabama went for it on 4th and short from their own 30, whatever, didn't get it, and it kind of
changed the whole game.
You know, so I wonder, too, like, I mean, they all do their film study, and I don't think Dan's influenced by a lot of what other people do, but I wonder if in the back of the mind you look at that and be like, man, you know, it's you let Indiana get going downhill, it can be a wagon.
Okay. Well, here we go. Enjoy it. Thank you for your hot commentary. We appreciate you.
Oh, boy. Now I'm all nervous.
Sorry.
That's going to be a great game. I will say this. I would bet my house that in the fourth quarter, this is a one-score game. I do not think that this is going to be a game where one team is just rolling. I think this is going to be a heavyweight fight. I just don't see another way that this goes down.
Hope you're right.
Bye.
Bye.
Joey Harrington, courtesy of Mods PDX. The future of building is here. The club is next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year, because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces, like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute. Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron and Sanofi to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, Dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.